Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. As promised, I went to South Florida to slay lobster, and I went to South Florida. That's how we're starting off the show here, at least so far, after our first day of lobster diving on the first day of Florida spiny lobster season. With me, Jimmy the Bubble Boy.
Hey, Greg.
CJ.
Where's the rest of the name?
What, CJ the Bug Boy.
Thank you.
Yes, he earned his tail, or earned his something, his carapace, his horns, or something.
Suck it, Jimmy. Suck it.
There are some things I just won't do.
Okay. Well,
that's not true, right? Yeah. That's not true. There's nothing you won't do.
Yeah, this is true. See, and of course, you hear another voice. Who could that be? Well, none other than the man himself, John Chatterton, one of the shadow divers, who's based out of Fort Lauderdale now. And he just happened to be on our lobster boat to oversee the lobster slayer and the crowning of Bug Boy. And you were just doing, you weren't really planning to do any lobstering. You were just coming out here to spear some fish for dinner, that kind of thing, and have a nice little dinner tonight.
Yeah, actually, Jeff requested that I be the adult supervision and keep an eye on you guys. But no, actually, I brought my spear gun along, and I was diving with Aaron. I didn't see a single lobster the whole time out there. Probably because I wasn't looking.
Yeah, well, no, we were busy slaying them, and we really weren't.
Stuff.
What do you mean?
Barry and myself are the only two out of our group that caught lobster.
Oh. Now, wait. Barry, our South Florida super fan, is with us as well. He was on the boat, and he snagged a few lobster. Basically, me and Barry buddied up.
Barry and I.
Okay, well, okay, whatever. Tomato, tomato. So we buddied up, and Jimmy the Bubble Boy and CJ buddied up, and we went on a lobster hunt. I caught every lobster I saw, but I only saw one. Now, Barry saw several, right?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic out there today.
Yeah. The conditions were phenomenal. It's just like, as it always is with lobster, it's a matter of just finding these little boogers. And sure enough, CJ happened to come across one. It was under what? It was under a barrel head sponge or something. Is that where you saw that monster or what?
Broke in my new looper. Yep.
Yeah. He went looping.
Looping. Yeah,
both Jimmy the Bubble Boy and CJ, for the first time, we're looping. Now, I was giving you tips when you came up and snared that lobster. You remember that, right? As I was filming you. So, I was trying to share the lobster experience as opposed to, you know, Bogart this whole thing for myself as I usually do.
So, like, grill it, butter and sugar on medium heat, tinfoil.
Okay, you could do that. I don't know. John, do you have a special recipe for lobster you'd want to share or no?
No, I go out there, I get the stuff, and then I turn it over to somebody else. It's specialization of labor. It is one of the indicators of civilization.
Okay, all right. He's just more efficient with his time, as he should be. So, but CJ, this monster, this could have been Lobsterzilla. As a matter of fact, it was so big that once we got it back to the dock and cleaned this puppy, I was filming it, and I could have swore that thing came back to life and started attacking.
It could have been the end of me. I tell you, we got a little dicey down there, but I kept it together, and I stayed cool, and I triumphed.
Yeah. No, wait a second. When you say you got back to the dock and cleaned this puppy, you're talking about CJ, right?
No, I'm talking about a real puppy that was just a stray. Yeah. We had a little lobster cleaning session. Actually, Barry was orchestrating it. But this big monster lobster that CJ captured seemed to come back to life. But I did get it on film. I don't want to give away the whole presentation, but there could be a Sharknado type of spin on what is going to be released at scubaradio.com. We'll save that for a future show as we get the footage edited accordingly. But John Chatterton, who's based out of here in Fort Lauderdale, so you were diving with Aaron. Now, you know Austin. Aaron from Austin, I'm sorry. Yeah, Aaron from Austin?
Yes,
no.
yes, exactly. No. But Austin today insisted on seeing some sharks. So I went down, shot a few fish, and in case anything went bad, I had somebody to hand the fish stringer to.
Very nice. Okay, so he wasn't necessarily a human shield as much as he was just a human sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like, here, hold these fish. I'll be right back.
Okay, nice. And it was like three rules John told you. What were they again?
Oh, the three rules. Don't run out of air, don't get lost, and don't get bit by a shark.
Okay, and he passed all three, so he gets a badge or what, John?
No, he did a great job. We may, you know, I'm ready to go dive with him anytime.
It's nice. Like, so you're looking
he's the smartest guy I've been diving with in months.
All right, so basically, it sounds to me, John, that you go out and you dive with Jeff at South Florida Diving Headquarters. You go out and do a little spearfishing. You've went through an assortment of buddies, so you're constantly looking for a new buddy to act as your shark spotter.
I didn't know about this.
Nothing, Austin. Nothing. Except for that one kid, Aaron. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. The thing is, if you go out and people give me a hard time about the whole, you know, like solo diving thing. But if you're spearfishing, the problem is, and there's sharks around. If there's sharks look at you and they say, oh, by yourself, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, alone. Well, you know, there's two or three of us and only one of you.
You know, I didn't know sharks sounded so creepy when they spoke. But, yeah.
No, they do. That's exactly what they're thinking. You don't hear them? You don't hear their voices when you're down there?
I got to listen more closely next time. I just don't do the spearfishing thing that much. So this is something that, whether you're in Fort Lauderdale or anywhere, spearfishermen have to deal with the shark issue that might draw them in.
Well, you know, the other thing is, spearfishing does attract sharks, but everybody, I don't care who you are, it may not be fun to see sharks on your dive, but it's always exciting. So you know, people like to see sharks. They're beautiful, they're majestic, it makes for a very dynamic dive. But the thing is, if you're spearfishing, you got to kind of watch your back. So Austin was kind enough to dive with me today, throw caution to the wind, and while we were down there, he was like
you're a human shield.
He was my wingman, you know.
Yeah, nice.
That's why they kept calling him Chum.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You would do this again, I assume, or no?
Oh, I would do this anytime. I'm willing to sacrifice myself for scuba any day.
Yeah, and you've been diving how long?
What time is it? It's 3 o'clock right now.
Yeah, I started diving when I was 14. My mom got me into it. She later developed multiple sclerosis, actually, so she can't dive with me anymore. So I took off for a while and then found some buddies when I moved to Boston for dental school and started up again.
Nice. And you just happened to run into John down here in South Florida. He said, yeah, come on board. You buddy up with me.
No, actually, he was like up in Orlando doing some... he was in cave country doing cave training with cave guys. And luckily, I could lure him away from the black side, from the black arts, to come down here. All right. And you know, instead of swimming through the cave going, look, wet rocks, he could say, holy crap, how many sharks are there?
Nice. This is like a day in the life of John Chatterton. You're just spear some fish down in Fort Lauderdale, cook them up for dinner, and you're good to go. But I know you're doing movies, books, and God knows what else. Can you share any secrets or updates with the crew here today or what, John?
Share secrets. Wouldn't that not make them secrets anymore?
No, no. Nobody listens to this show. Come on.
Boy, thank God for a while.
Mom, don't tell anyone.
You know, I'm working with Rob Kirsten, the author of Shadow Divers. He's writing a new book about some shipwrecks we found down in the Dominican Republic. 20th Century Fox has just renewed our contract in April for the Shadow Divers movie. They work extremely slowly, so we'll have to see how that turns out. And I live right here in Fort Lauderdale, so I dive in Pompano all the time. I teach a couple of classes throughout the year, and I'm living the life.
Yeah, well, in Austin will probably last at least a couple more dives, and then he'll be looking for another chum. So if you're interested, it's johnchatterton.com, right.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Dive into Dominica. Right now, Dominica's Fort Young Hotel is offering an exceptional summer dive package. 5 days of diving, marine park fees, daily full breakfast, transfers, $50 resort credit, and 7 nights at the luxurious Fort Young Hotel for as low as $925. From whales to waterfalls, Dominica has it all. A diver's paradise even non-divers will appreciate when staying at the Fort Young Hotel. Go to FortYoungHotel.com and dive into Dominica now. Offer ends September 30th. That's FortYoungHotel.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Will you stop? The fun of a place like this is getting germs on your elbows.
I don't understand why anyone would want to come to a dive like this.
You say dive like it's a bad word. Look around, people are having fun. It's a dive, Bree. Dive in. It's a skin.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, back in the studio with me, as well as CJ. So we've already come back from South Florida. And Lobster Slayer and Bug Boy are here to relish in the glory. Bask in the glory of...
Welcome back, Bug Boy
and
Lobster Observer.
Lobster Slayer. I caught a lobster. I did.
You caught and released a lobster?
I caught everyone that I saw. Didn't I, CJ?
Yeah, I think it was a female.
It was.
You had to throw it back.
Yeah. Well, I released
not
my
in anger.
I released my noose on her.
Gingerly released her back into her hole.
Yeah. So we didn't see a lot.
While
but what
busy,
I saw, I caught.
While I was busy battling with a fierce beast.
Yes, which we have documented.
Large and angry.
He was.
He was not happy.
He is featured prominently right there on the front page at scubaradio.com. Go check it out now. We have posted the pictures of the debut of Bug Boy and his prize lobster, which has already been consumed,
yep.
from what I understand.
Yep.
Actually have some audio of the first words said immediately following his triumphant return.
Yes.
So yeah. We're going to hold on 1 second, and...
I am Bug...
Can't wait to see the video on that.
You're supposed to make that proclamation once you're out of the water and clear of the waves.
I was partway out of the water.
You were, but not far enough out. There, yeah, we have not released that video yet.
Can't wait to see it.
But once Bug Boy came up out of the water after his triumphant capture of his Florida spiny lobster.
I've seen the pictures on scubaradio.com, and yeah. I have this one question to ask. Did mm-hmm. the rest of you think it unfair that he had a magic looper? It glows.
It only works for me.
It was kind of freaky. You had one of the green meanies. They had picked up on the way to South Florida. This is a lobster snare. You picked it up at what? Divers Direct? Is that where you got it?
Yeah.
And I've had one of these for many years. And
actually,
green...
I pulled it out of a rock.
You did?
And I was the only one that could do it.
That explains the unique picture that we captured of Bug Boy coming up out of the water holding his magic looper up out of the air. And it literally glows. And you would think this was some kind of Photoshop special effect, but I'm telling you, there was nothing
funny
done to this
picture.
Funny thing
is, my arms are glowing, too.
That was just,
I could use some sun.
That's just pure power.
I could use a little sun, maybe. Maybe I'm too much under the water.
Yeah. But no, your looper is glowing. Fluorescent.
That's just the
green.
Shine off my head.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's reflecting off...
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I don't know.
That's got to be it.
That doesn't sound as impressive of that you have a magic looper. Which is what, you know.
That would imply that there was no skill involved.
Well, no, Bug Boy. It's a combination of Bug Boy and his magic looper. It's just one of your many secret weapons that you have to ensnare.
Looks like it's made
lobster.
Out of kryptonite.
I don't know. But Lobster Boy now has a sidekick. Bug Boy. He earned his
I thought you
his
were the
position.
Lobster observer.
Lobster slayer.
Lobster observer. I am Lobster Observer!
Yeah, okay. He didn't even dive. So he's gonna get a name.
I brought home just as many lobsters as Lobster Observer!
I don't like where this is headed.
He shot some good footage, though.
He did.
Got some great shots.
Because
thank God
he
for
is
that.
Lobster Observer!
Our GoPro.
Cameraman! I am cameraman.
Watch
I am the Lensinator.
I was shooting with new GoPros.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
And magic.
And I will tell you, we talked about in that first segment with John Chatterton about the about Lobsterzilla. And or Lobster NATO, the film that we went down there to shoot. We did post some pictures from this new film.
None of those
it's a tornado made up of one lobster.
None of those are correct. It was Lobzilla.
What did I say?
Lobsterzilla.
Oh, okay. Lobzilla or Lobsnado. Lobster NATO. I don't know. Yeah. We couldn't figure out how to work a tornado into the lobster. So we just had the lobster attack. But we did get we put up a few stills because once Barry, our South Florida super fan, cleaned the lobster, sure enough, as I predicted,
there was an attack.
One of them turned on us. And
the one that was caught turned on you?
Yeah.
Single lobster?
No, there were several.
Barry caught three.
Of course
yeah.
he did.
Much, much smaller than mine. But so that's, like... Three of his equaled one of mine.
That's what she said.
Hello!
And so anyway, we took one of the GoPro cameras, we mounted it to
Barry's
Lobzilla.
All your cinematography secrets.
Well, I wanted to get the perspective, and sure enough, we got something here. I mean, if you look at it, it really...
It's spine-tingling.
This is a new thing that I don't think this has ever been seen before. Just like Sharknado, we have come up with something of, a new...
Biblical proportions.
When lobsters attack kind of thing. And we're going to turn this into a whole movie.
This could turn into like a whole lobster week instead of Shark Week.
Exactly.
Lobster Week.
Let my crustaceans go! That would be the line, Bill, not people.
No, actually, I was making it one of the seven plagues of Egypt. It's a biblical reference. I'll explain to you the Bible thing later. You'll understand. And
no,
you'll
I
say,
was,
oh, that
but
was
it's not people.
Greg
it's crustaceans.
You have to excuse Greg. He's a godless heathen.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
Yes, Lobzilla was delicious. His tail ended up on my grill.
Mm-hmm. And every lobster you eat makes you one step closer to being one. It's like you eat the heart of a lobster.
I hate to say this. CJ looks a little bit more like a lobster than you do. Lobster Observer!
He's just jealous because he doesn't have a superhero name like you or me.
I do.
Boy. Oh, you do?
Pantsless Man!
What? No mas. Pantalones. Like a sauna.
Oh, boy.
Por favor.
Well, you know, it doesn't get much worse than this. Look at it that way and stick around.
Gotta get better.
Show devoted to diving. Once again, go to scubaradio.com. We just posted the official set of Bug Boy pictures from our outing down there in South Florida. And by the way, we got to thank Jeff at South Florida Diving Headquarters for hooking us up. SouthFloridaDiving.com. They run a great dive operation down there. We were diving off the Black Pearl, which is a perfect platform to go hunt lobster or just to go and enjoy the reef.
Didn't capsize once.
Not once. And I got to tell you, you know, the conditions that we had down there on that day of lobstering were probably the best conditions, period, I've ever seen in Fort Lauderdale. It was flat calm. There was not a wave on the water. I mean, it was...
Except for the one that waited until CJ got out of the water.
It was a rogue. That was more of a wake.
That was more of a sinking.
There must have been a boat behind me or something.
He was in between fin kicks or something, and he goes, I am boat! And we do have the video clip of that. We'll get that edited and posted accordingly.
That was about the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah, you know, it was a great time, and you need to... get out there and take advantage of lobster season if you're so inclined to do so. Now, John Chatterton was doing a lot of spearfishing. You heard him talking about the sharks, and I did see some sharks down there. We're going to talk about some other stuff I did. I did some dive instruction. We'll get to that in a little bit. However, he goes down there and spearfishes all the time.
Wait a second. There were girls on your boat, and we're just now getting to that?
That was my daughter. Forget it.
No, he means it. Forget it.
Yeah. So we were doing our lobstering, and he was doing his spearfishing. And he was not joking about the sharks. And you know, I have been I've been on one spearfishing excursion over in Louisiana. I went and did some spearfishing off of the oil rigs, and it is fun. But I'll tell you, it's a little creepy because you spearfish, the sharks definitely take notice, and that's what he was talking about. We'll talk about that. And more after the Dan Good Diving Safety Tip, next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 109. You'll get no bacon from spearing a hogfish.
A pig, maybe.
And here's something else to consider. Brain coral cannot help you with a crossword puzzle or Sudoku. But mowing the lawn in snowshoes, well, what can I say?
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. In here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Glad to see you made it here okay. Sorry I lost you on the way from the airport there, buddy.
Yeah, it was a good thing I had an extra set of directions.
Forgot you were following me and I got ahead of you in traffic.
It's all good, but it's a good example of why I have a backup plan.
And a nice segue into today's topic. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when you get separated from your buddy and the backup plan doesn't work.
Knowing what to do when a diver goes missing is an excellent skill to have. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with something simple. For whatever reason, you and your buddy get separated on the way back from the airport. I mean, the dive.
That's something you and your buddy should have discussed before you left the terminal or entered the water. You should have a plan in place that in the event that you're separated during a dive, you know what steps you'll have to take to reconnect.
Such as?
Such as agreeing that if separated, you'll immediately go to a designated point to rendezvous. Maybe it's an anchor or a scent line. Maybe it's at some other landmark you know will be on the dive. Another plan often agreed upon is that when you realize you've lost contact, search for about a minute underwater and then ascend and reconnect on the surface.
But the important thing is to know what you'll do and follow the plan, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens if you follow your reconnection plan, but you still can't find your buddy?
Well, then you're dealing with a missing diver. In that scenario, immediately notify anybody nearby, either on the boat or on the shore, that you've got a missing diver in the water. You should not undertake that search by yourself without a plan and support in place.
Since there's always the possibility the missing diver is having some kind of trouble, I'm guessing it's better to treat the matter as urgent?
Urgent, yes. Panic, no. Start by marking the spot where you came up with a marker buoy. And if you have some immobile objects around you, like a tree or a building or a rock formation, use them as reference points. Next, see if anyone can spot the missing diver's bubbles. If spotted, it really helps target the missing diver's location and where to start looking.
Assuming they have bubbles to spot.
Ooh, that's true. If the diver is using a rebreather, searching for bubbles isn't going to help you.
And if the bubbles are spotted?
Send a diver in to check them out. Meanwhile, you should be providing the support team with as much information as possible. What the plan profile was, what directions you intended to swim, what happened on the dive, and at what point you became separated. Anything that can prove useful in the search.
You can even be doing that while you're looking for bubbles, can't you?
Absolutely. And when you're looking for those bubbles, be sure to look in every direction, not just where you think the missing diver should be. Oftentimes, the separation is the result of a diver simply getting disoriented or lost.
What about enlisting the help of others?
The more, the merrier. If you're on a boat, contact other boats in the area to see if the missing diver mistakenly boarded the wrong vessel. And if they're not on anyone's deck, enlist the help of everyone you can find. If you're on shore, have others scanning the water, checking the surrounding areas. Believe it or not, sometimes the missing diver has simply gotten out of the water and returned to their vehicle.
And if all that doesn't help?
It's likely time to start the underwater search. Searches should be conducted in teams, both for the safety of the searchers and to ensure that the resources needed are available in case a rescue is involved. Search teams should not enter the water without a solid plan in place. The plan should include an agreed-upon search area, search pattern, and time limits. If there are enough divers available, organize standby dive teams to pick up where the first team leaves off and to lend additional assistance if it becomes necessary.
What about other divers in the water?
If they are part of the group, you may want to institute a recall or regroup and reorganize everyone back on the boat or the shore. They may be able to lend assistance in providing information about what was happening underwater, or profile permitting, they may be able to join the search. It's also possible that the missing diver will surface upon the recall, as the recall itself may be all that he or she needs to find their way back.
What procedures should the search teams follow?
They should always stay together, and they should never deviate from the plan they put in place. At no time should the searchers put themselves in danger while looking for a missing diver. Generally, the marked spot is used as a starting point, and the search expands in an agreed-upon direction from there.
There are different search patterns you can use. Which one should you?
Well, it really depends on the topography of the dive site and the conditions and visibility. But the most commonly used patterns include the U pattern, expanding squares, and circular search patterns. If a dive is being done in a specific or concentrated area, like a wreck, for example, you may simply have several dive teams doing random searches. But more often than not, a more formal approach is used.
Hopefully, at some point in all this, the missing diver will be found. But if the unfortunate occurs and he's not?
Then it's time to call the authorities. In fact, you can call them at any point in this process. If you feel like you need additional assistance, don't hesitate to call for it. When you're looking for a missing diver, you know you're working against the clock, so use whatever resources you have available to you.
And hopefully it'll come out all right.
In most cases it does. Most missing divers are usually just buddy teams that got separated for one reason or another. Sometimes it's preventable, sometimes not, which is why it's crucial to communicate with one another before you enter the water and stick to the plan you create.
And if you're following me from the airport,
bring a GPS.
Right. The search for a missing diver is something that should be undertaken quickly, but with a plan. Use whatever tools you have handy to help in the search, and don't be afraid to ask for help. But do your best to avoid going missing in the first place. Know the plan you and your buddy are to follow, and stick to it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Wow, we are just admiring my photography that we posted of Bubble Boy, or Bug Boy. Bubble Boy was there, too. He was actually
was making bubbles.
He was gunning for title of Bug Boy. And that was the deal between CJ and James. We were diving for lobster this week. He, the first one to catch a lobster, would
you know, as I
get
recall,
the title of Bug
when
Boy.
When you left, it was not the first one. It was the one who got the most lobster.
There again.
That would be him. Yeah. That would be CJ.
I didn't think it was a race. I thought it was an accumulation.
No, it was a race. It was definitely a race. But you know, the thing when you're lobster diving, you got to be safe about it. And we had a team of four. You know, Barry was down there. He was my buddy, and CJ and James buddied up. So we had like a team of four that was going lobster, and we kind of stayed together as a team. The visibility was kind of up and down. It was great conditions, flat calm, but sometimes, you know, we had some silt that would come in and bring down the vis a little bit.
So how far everybody were you offshore? I mean, most lobster diving is relatively
5 feet
to the shore.
No. Wait, excuse me?
I'm kidding.
Actually, people were catching them in 5 feet of water. They were shallow.
We were out of ways.
Yeah, we were out. We were at the third reef off of Pompano Beach. You could see the beach, and you could actually swim out that far if you wanted, but it'd been a really long swim.
Like, so a couple hundred yards?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little bit more than that. But
75 feet?
No.
60 feet?
60 max.
60?
Yeah, we weren't.
Because they're like 30, 45, 60, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Yep. But we had a good time. But I was, you know, a little weary of the sharks. You know, and I was talking about John Chatterton doing that spearfishing stuff. And on the dive the day before, when I was doing some checkout dives for my daughter and her friend, which I'll get into in a little bit, we saw a bull shark. And that kind of surprised me, being out there and all of a sudden seeing a bull shark. But, you know, the spear fishermen bring these sharks in, and so do the lobster. So if you catch a lobster and you have it in your bag, there's a good chance that a nurse shark or a shark in the area could take interest to you.
Well, especially if, in addition to that, there's also spearfishing going on.
Yes.
Because, I you know, John does a reasonable, although creepy, impression of the sharks.
Yeah.
I've actually heard the sharks when I've been diving with spear fishermen. Yeah. And what I hear them say is, you going to finish that? you going to finish that?
Correct answer is no, sir.
And you can have it.
Yeah.
You take it.
I'm a little hungry. I'm a little peckish. I could help you with that. You going to finish it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They're a little bit more aggressive.
Greg, don't worry. That. I will protect you with my magic looper.
Yeah, well, it glows. And just, you know, I'm just wondering if your looper's like radioactive.
No, I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
That was freaky. It was magical, but it worked. That's all that matters. Whatever your secret is, you just keep that to yourself, young man.
I'll but never
boy,
tell.
You are my trusty sidekick. And we will, together, we will
Did you say crusty?
Limit out every day.
Huh? Crusty sidekick. That's yeah. funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
Because he's a crustacean sidekick.
Exactly.
He's a crustacean catcher.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Lobster Boy, Bug Boy, the Lobster Slayer. You know, everybody has a different persona. If they're into, lobster hunting, it kind of takes over. And that's pretty much what happened this week with the opening of Florida spiny lobster season here in our backyard. We went and did some diving, had a great old time. Barry, our South Florida super fan, was with us on the boat as well. Barry is on Scuba Radio via phone. Barry, how are you, buddy?
I am the Lobster Terminator.
Okay, you're going to be the Lobster Terminator, are you?
And I'm going to be the Lobster Thermidor.
Actually, I need some better recipes for lobster tail.
You do? Okay, well, Thermidor is one way you could, I guess. I don't know how you do that, but that'd be one way. Well, what did you do with your lobster, your Lobzilla?
I just grilled it.
Just grill it straight, nothing special, didn't put any paprika.
I can't tell you, that's a secret.
No, you can't.
He did sashay up to the grill a couple of times, so it wasn't really super straight.
Mm-hmm. And what about you? You had a...
Oh, that wasn't me.
Barry had three tails. What did you do with the ones you got? Did you eat them yet, Barry, or you just put them on ice, freeze them?
Actually, it was four tails, and basically it cut them all up and sautéed them with garlic and butter and oil and Old Bay seasoning.
Nice.
Old Bay. That's his secret recipe right there.
Yeah, because nothing's more delicious than the smell of the Old Bay.
Yeah, I don't think Bill's part of their marketing team. Just saying.
That is good, though. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Tony Satchery's is one I've used before as well. With a little Cajun blackened type of kick you can put on the lobster tail. Marinate them in Italian dressing.
You should do a cookbook.
Wishbone Italian dressing. That is a little trick as well. If you marinate them for about an hour.
Really good.
Yeah, marinate them in wishbone Italian dressing for about an hour, and then you can broil them, grill them, whatever. A little butter, little...
succulent.
Yeah, Tony Satchery's. If you like a little extra kick there, that'll really bring it to life.
Nice.
So there's my little tip.
That's nice, and that's great, because Publix has other great recipes when he goes and gets his lobster.
Now, when Barry was there, he saw me catch a lobster, and he can back me up on this, that I caught one. I caught the only one I saw, right, Barry? Because you were my dive buddy. Come
on.
Yeah, see?
Now, hold on. If you are the lobster observer,
but that doesn't count, right?
That doesn't, it doesn't count.
Your dive buddy saw four lobster, and you saw one. Who's not paying attention?
No, actually, go ahead.
Let me give Greg some credit here.
Yeah.
The water was crystal clear, and when it's that clear, they hide really deep in the holes.
Right.
So, I mean, he just had to stick his face really deep into a hole to find it.
Just so I understand, you, Barry, who found four, were able to see them, and Greg, who found the one girl who was out, I don't know, on a date, He managed to find that one.
No.
And you're claiming that the water was too clear.
Yes.
That it was too easy to see them.
No.
This is your defense of his.
They know it's too easy to be seen, so they hide up under the coral heads and rocks. And Barry had a light, and I did not have a light with me. So he was going up and looking up in the cracks and crevices and getting a better view.
Well, now, wait a sec. Don't claim you didn't have a light, CJ, because we know that your magic looper glows when you're near a lobster.
That's true.
No, it only glows once I've caught it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
It's like E.T. It's powered by love.
I don't know. Bug Boy has a
magic... That's not true.
I don't know.
Powered by Old Bay.
Barry, did you ever touch CJ's magic looper?
No, I hope not to.
Well, just so you know, that little rash, it'll clear right up in a day or two. Also,
saltwater thing.
Barry,
that's the voice
is,
of experience talking. It,
Barry's picture of the lobster attack is the first picture that shows up at scubaradio.com. Now that if you go there and it loads up, Barry is there fending off a lobster attack. Which
I'm glad to see you got away.
They came after him first because he was the one who was cleaning the lobster tail once
they
got back to the
they
dock.
They could smell the lobster on him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, if it weren't for me, I had his back, and I kind
of... That's probably the first documentation of a lobster on human attack ever caught on film.
I think so. Could be. Sign of things to come, you know, global warming, it's just chalk it up for another reason why this stuff happens. They start to turn on us.
You should have had me there because I would have helped you with the name of your film, Lobstadon.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about Shark Week in hour two of Scuba Radio today. Did you see that Megalodon thing, by the way?
Oh, right, because I only watch documentaries.
Yeah.
Stupid. I hate them.
It made Sharknado look like an Emmy or an Oscar winner, I think. Did you see it?
No.
CJ? You didn't see Megalodon?
I accidentally caught part of it, but fell on the ground laughing.
Yeah.
And then when I got up, it was hours later. I must have knocked myself out.
It wasn't, I don't think it was as bad as Sharknado, but the fact that they pretended it was real on a show, which carries shows which are real, was, there's a word for it, it's asinine. That's the word I was searching for.
Interesting.
Why on a show which has documentaries would you do a show that you pretend is a documentary? Like that Stupid Mermaid thing.
What?
Like the puppet?
But that's a different Stupid Mermaid thing.
Yeah. We have our own stupid things that we do on this show. And then there's what the Discovery Channel does.
Mermaidadon.
We'll talk about that. And much, much more in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't go anywhere. We got more coming up. Stay close.
Each little slug here, cutting a rug here under the sea. Each little snail here, know how to wail here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we look here, now we can fuck here under the sea.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go!